A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord cried loud for me to hear, "Come, you scourges of the city." With that, I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces the north, each with a destroying weapon in his hand. In their midst was a man dressed in linen, with a rider's cape, with a rider's case at his waist. They entered and stood beside the bronze altar. Then he called to the man dressed in linen with the rider's case at his waist, saying to him, "Pass through the city, through Jerusalem, and mark a tau on the foreheads of those who moan and groan over all the abominations that have practiced within it." To the others I heard the Lord say, "Pass through the city after him and strike. Do not look on them with pity, nor show any mercy. Old men, youths, and maidens, women and children, wipe them out. But do not touch any mark with the tau. Begin at my sanctuary." So they began with the men, the elders, who were in front of the temple. "Defile the temple," he said to them, "and fill the courts with the slain. Then go out and strike in the city." Then the glory of the Lord left the threshold of the temple and rested upon the cherubim. These lifted their wings, and I saw them rise from the earth, the wheels rising along with them. They stood at the entrance of the eastern gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was up above them. Then the cherubim lifted their wings, and the wheels went along with them, while up above them was the glory of the God of Israel. The word of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is higher than the skies. Praise you, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. From the rising to the setting of the sun is the name of the Lord to be praised. High above all nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high and looks upon the heavens and the earth below?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." The Gospel of the Lord. Friends, he outlines for us today, does he not, the Lord, the proper course of action for fraternal correction. When someone is wronging us, how to go about addressing it. First, we approach them alone, the matter between us and them. Them alone. Then, one or two who could come and maybe establish the facts with us if that person's unwilling to listen. And finally, it says the church. And what is that in the Greek? Ekklesia, meaning the assembly, the people. But if we're honest and we look around ourselves, when someone wrongs another person, we do exactly the opposite of this. And it's so true. We do exactly the opposite of this. We tell everyone. The first thing that happens when something wrong happens to me, we tell absolutely everyone, the ecclesia, the church. We tell everybody what this person did. Then, maybe, if this person's lucky, we bring one or two people together to try and establish what really happened and get down to the facts. And then finally, if this person is really blessed, we actually have the stomach to go and sit before them and try and reconcile the situation between the two of us. Jesus doesn't say this in this 18th chapter of Matthew arbitrarily. I think he recognizes something. We do exactly the reverse of this. And what's demanded for us in charity, part of our vocation as baptized Christians, is to call others onto holiness. How often are there others around us who maybe fall into sin, or maybe we ourselves fall into sin, and what we need is the charity of a brother or sister who says to us, this is something that we need to address. But how often we fail to do that. Passive-aggressively, we turn in, and we tell the community rather than the individual. Jesus himself is addressing this today because it's an act of charity and justice. Justice, justus, is to give to the other what is due to them. To give to the other what is due to them. And out of charity for our brothers and sisters, it's demanded of us that we at least afford them that. We go to them, it says, to them alone. And why would that be so important? When we go to them alone and we spend a moment calling each other onto greater holiness, as Jesus says later in this gospel, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am present with them. There's an opportunity for us to experience the presence of Christ with us when we, as it is a spiritual work of mercy, admonish the sinner. When we have a moment to recognize the ways in which you and I have been called to greater holiness. So I think for a moment, maybe today, friends, we can take a moment in prayer and recognize those areas in our lives where perhaps there are opportunities for us to be called personally to greater holiness, but also to assist our brothers and sisters and have the audacity and, yes, the courage to enact that spiritual work of mercy and call someone on to greater holiness. Not being fearful that it's just some kind of meaningless disagreement where it's just you and them, but rather if it's truly rooted in Christ, you and that other person is two, and Christ is present there with you. For as Christians, we have to do exactly as this gospel has called us. The world, we do the opposite. But as Christians, we enact this as an act of justice and an act of mercy.